And fighting isn't unhealthy. You know, having, I think debating, the world is so crazy at the moment and won't let you have a different opinion. We have a lot of different opinions. We're not the same person. We also have things in our lives we like to do differently. We have a lot we like to do the same, but we also appreciate that in the other person, I think most of the time. And also the fact that we're different helps me a huge amount because my weaknesses are your strengths sometimes. And I think sometimes the other way around.
Hi, we are the Natural Doctors, Sisters, Doctors and Natural Health Experts.
Hi, I'm Zandra. I've been a chiropractor for 15 years. I run my own very large practice, the Back Clinic in Poynton, Cheshire, where I teach other chiropractors how to look at the root cause of the issue and not just treat the surface symptoms.
I'm Jess. I'm a medical doctor, functional medicine doctor, acupuncturist, Chinese herbalist, medical herbalist, homeopath and kinesiologist. Since I left the NHS, I've run a private natural health practice, drjess.co.uk, for 15 years seeing thousands of patients.
As sisters, we practice out of the same building in Cheshire. And together we run thenaturaldoctors.com. This is where you can find out more, or you can see us on our individual sites as well. Welcome to the Natural Doctors podcast. Today we're going to be talking about your circle of life. And no, I don't mean the Elton John song.
That's all my brain can think of now.
It's got Lion King. I was like, let's talk on this topic. I was like, all I can think about is I love the Lion King musical.
I know, but you came with two titles. I had to come up with one. Now, this one's all about things around you. I was literally thinking of this one. I was in the shower this morning. I was just thinking how different my inner circle is than it was 10 years ago. And that's what I was thinking of. I was looking around actually my bathroom and realizing I was surrounded by organic makeup. I had organic hand soaps. I had all organic care products for me in the shower. Even the shower water that's coming through is being filtered. I looked and just realized the circle I've surrounded myself in is completely different than it was. And you can't help but notice a lot of that is in family, friends and work, isn't it? And we have
the environment we're creating.
Yeah, and it's the one you have control over. But we didn't make this decision straight away, but we often find it with one of our friends, and that is she struggled at first because she didn't have quite a circle that had her beliefs, and she's been morphing and changing her circle gradually over the last 8 to 10 years. And you can see now her circle is very, 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 very different. She's changed her work environment, her friend environment, her family's all supportive now. And you realise you just have to start, you can bash your head against other people who don't have your beliefs. And if that's not working for you, I would always say, take a step back and go, don't waste the energy. If you're struggling to find someone to change to where you are, you instead need to find that nourishment from somebody else.
I think one thing that I would say that our background might have given us that was very helpful with this, if we look at it, that we moved a lot when we were younger. We didn't stay any places for very long times. So if I look at a lot of people that I know, my husband even, they have friendships from like when they were little. And I'm like, oh, it's weird because we moved so much. But actually it gave us a very healthy way of actually, I do think we sometimes, not saying you need to change your friends if you've got your friends from childhood, if they get on well with them, but we do change as people. And we aren't afraid to change our friendship groups a little bit, to pick new friends, to go into new areas if people aren't fitting our old beliefs, and not in a negative way, but we let go of the ones that aren't the people we are now, in a way that aren't suiting the person we are now. And that feels normal to us because we changed a lot when we were younger. So my friends now are quite different than my friends at every stage of my life. And I think that feels normal to me. But I realize when I listen to other people that because they grew up in one place, because that was the friends they followed through, that a lot of people don't do that. And you can stay stuck sometimes.
You can stay stuck, but also you sometimes start losing some of your support network. I don't think I could be happy with a different circle around me. I mean, you always tell me I'm a nester, and I am. I create what Jessica always calls a work family. And that is, I always create, you know, staff around me that are like nurturing. So, you know, our reception team are amazing, but they're basically like parents. They are phenomenal. And they nurture me, but also they have the same beliefs. They believe inherently in chiropractic, in natural health, in the natural doctor. They believe in supplements. They believe in the herbs. They take them. You know, and they also offer huge amounts of emotional support.
They care about our patients.
Caring.
And that's the thing that I think we realise more and more. We've done, again, you get more experienced and you grow through business. When you start out, you can get taken in more. But now when we look for a new receptionist, when we look for a new member of staff, we're looking for the only thing we can't put in, really, which is empathy, caring, and a kind of personality that wants to help, that actually gives off a positive energy and doesn't drain people around them. It gives off and helps others. They can feel something from it.
And an openness to natural health. I mean, that has to be there. There has to be an openness to natural health. That can go in all relationships, even in your partner or whoever you're looking, you know, with at the time. It's this seeing, you know, is there an openness to natural health? Is there an openness to it? And if you start going on that path and going, yes there is or no there isn't, it becomes a kind of either a battle or an absolute joy. And it's very much asking those questions, because
and most of the people that most of the people that we've picked as partners in our lives, I would say you generally don't pick someone. I picked another doctor in my life, and you look at it and go, how has that gone? Well, it's not been the easiest road in the world, but you know, I just stuck to who I was, and over time I've got more tolerant, and actually my best approach was to go, you can do what you want to do, but I'm going to do this because this feels right to me. I'm not going to judge you. You do what you want. And interestingly enough, what happened then is gradually he's just moved over to my way of doing things. And we've got, and when you have children, it's tricky, but I've gone, this is what I want from it. And how do you feel? Can you support me? And he has. And that was very important too. And now I've got a husband who's pretty into all the natural health stuff. You know, there's not much he won't support me in. Very different from the relationship we started on, but I've stayed true to who I was.
Yeah.
And had he not changed, would we still be together? Maybe not.
And that's what it is, isn't it? It's working out what you can and can't compromise on. And I would say, I don't compromise on health. I just don't do it, because it's not something, it's in me, because I just, it's such a deep rooted belief that it's the correct way is to look after your health, to look after your body. And it nicely coincides looking after your environment. But I'm also, I think, pretty damn caring and very, very generous. And I try and always make sure that there is a nice feedback of that. You know, I'm not going to expect anyone in my family to kind of like cook huge amounts of food for me. I'm very happy to do all the cooking. I love it. But it's just, it's keeping that kind of that balance and that circle always around you. But also what I tend to find is by creating that circle, it's a circle that challenges it all the time, isn't it? Because once someone will come up with, or you know, either a problem or a new thing they've listened to that they do, and then we all get to debate it in that lovely kind of circle that goes around. That is important.
It's a supportive environment. And I think, you know, again, it's not, you know, I started out as a homeopath. I was a doctor, but my first kind of alternative medicine, if we went for that, it was actually homeopathy, which is probably the most way out one compared to the other things I do, and kinesiology and flower essences. It was so completely different from medicine. And yet I'd never really experienced the energetic side, the spiritual side, started thinking about that. And, you know, in my early 20s, I started doing a lot of spiritual work. And I still, it's the thing that helps me the most. If anything goes wrong, I go back to my set of core spiritual beliefs and I realize I've lost touch with those when things go wrong in my life. And a lot of those are listening. You know, you don't have to be religious. It's entirely open to religion. It's spirituality is your connection to what you feel, your set of values that you feel are inherent to you and the world around you. And I think mine very much relate to, I want positive energy around me. And I think I'm quite sensitive to that. I'm quite sensitive anyway. And I would say that when people are negative, I have to be careful with it. I have to protect my own energy. I don't like to be in that space a lot. And I'd have to work out how to ground myself and deal with it afterwards.
It's all about listening to that. I mean, you have an outer circle that's kind of around you. And I always think of it a bit like a bubble around you. But you also look at it that, you know, your brain sometimes wants to rebel against things. And if you can keep your bubble supportive around you, it stops that rebellion being too detrimental.
As long as we don't do it all at the same time. If one of us just goes out of place, it works really well because everybody else just supports you.
Yeah.
The only problem ever comes when the whole bubble falls apart and everybody falls apart at the same time. Actually, very rare.
Yeah, it is. Luckily, it's, I mean, we've always done it. I mean, our closest bubble, of course, is me and you.
Yeah.
I mean, we always laugh about it. Oh, you always get on really well. And I was like, it's not that we get on really well, it's that we break at different times.
Yeah.
And so it's easier to
only
get around.
Only the odd extreme row has occurred when we've broken at the same time. And we do fight. And fighting isn't unhealthy. You know, debating, the world is so crazy at the moment and won't let you have a different opinion. We have a lot of different opinions. We're not the same person. We also have things in our lives we like to do differently. We have a lot we like to do the same, but we also appreciate that in the other person, I think, most of the time. And also the fact that we're different helps me a huge amount because my weaknesses are your strengths sometimes. And I think sometimes the other way around.
Definitely vice versa. And that's how it works. But also, you know, you can't get over the fact that, you know, we always have the same dynamic, and that is, you know, I am little sister, your big sister. And so if I need someone to go and get advice from, I'm going straight to you. If you need to relax and chill out, you're going to come straight to me.
I know. She knows how to have fun better than I do, I think. And how to relax and you're not take your life too seriously.
You always come along and go, let's go, she's really relaxing. I'm like, go ape!
Yeah. Sometimes my youngest child reminds me very strongly of you at times. I see it myself. My older child's more serious like me. And then my younger child's is just like awful. Completely free, like wild child. I'm like, oh, it's nice to see that. I like the try and get them both to be a middle ground, which is what we want. And I think it's also that energy side is again, it's that body awareness and that awareness of ourselves that becomes hugely important. And we don't talk about anywhere, and we should talk to kids about our instincts have evolved throughout time to help protect us from other people and help us work out what suits us and what doesn't. And I think when we talk about who should be in your life, I think you just start listening to yourself. Go and spend time with one of your closest friends And over a few sessions of spending, don't just base it on months, but several times spending, you know, do you come away feeling good about yourself? Do you come away feeling bad about yourself? You know, is that person the person supporting you, or do you feel so tired and exhausted and drained and negative from it that it's made you feel awful again? Do you feel like someone, we talk about vampires of energy, yes, has someone sucked your energy dry? Or when you were low, did you go into that situation and they picked you up again? You know, how much of that balance is there? Is it 50-50? Is it 90-10? Is it 20? You know, which way does it go? You know, over time, you can assess, is that person the right person to be in your life? And I'm not saying that you should get rid of people all the time who aren't. If they're going through a bad time, you can support them. But if consistently, you know, our life and our health, our mental health is all going to be very strongly impacted by our closest social network. So if you have someone continually negative, continually different values with you in that sphere, they might not be the right person to be there, whether they're related to you or not.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's really knowing, not only, you know, are they around you as a friend group, but are they part of your family, you know? Is it someone like your partner? You know, do they inherently know if you're having a bad day, do they help you lift you up? If you're having a good day, are they there to support you? You know, is it a relationship where you have a good day and they try and push you down and that's no good? Or if you're feeling low, do they either mope with you or are they just not interested? It's working out, you know, that kind of ebb and flow of going through things. But also, you know, we are the product of our parents. And the question is, you know, sometimes that dynamic can be tricky. Sometimes that dynamic can be damaging. Yeah. And the question then is, you know, is it an environment you want to keep exposing yourself to? Is it an environment you want to keep exposing your children to?
Are you obligated to do it? Mm. No.
And that's the thing. It's working out, you know, can you at least bring the time frames down or can you put some boundaries in? Those are always things that, you know, are a part of it. We are very different with our circle of family is that, you know, we don't particularly talk to our parents in any way, really, just because that relationship was very, very detrimental. And unfortunately, it got to a point where, you know, it was a trust that was broken that couldn't really be righted at that point. And it became a detrimental relationship. And as hard as it was, you know, I can't say it's something I regret. It is stopping that relationship. And more importantly, it becomes, you know, a point of view that I don't think they regret it either because they got what they wanted. So, you know, it's one of those things that is tricky, but it's surrounding yourselves with the right people. And
you can have forgiveness. You can have, I think people worry that you hold resentments if you choose not to have someone in your life. But the answer, I don't know if anyone has estrangement from their parents. It's a very tricky area because many people are like, oh, I love my mum. How could you possibly not have that relationship? And I think the answer is maybe that relationship wasn't like the relationship you have. And secondly, I think it's not, I don't carry resentment. I don't have any issue with that.
No.
I think it's just a choice that I don't want that level type of energy and relationship in my life.
And I certainly don't want it around the children and the family. And it's just making sure that, you know, you kind of come to terms with the idea that, okay, it's kind of okay. I have no ill will at all against them. It's just the fact that we can't have a relationship that works healthily. And that is hard to realise, but also it's about health. And that was not a healthy relationship. Therefore, it can't be allowed anymore. And it's difficult to do that, but you always want to surround yourself with as many happy things as you possibly can. We were very lucky. We had a fantastic network around us that supported us through that transition. And there are elements of our family that really do like having a relationship. Interestingly, our uncle came along and actually he forms a fantastic part of our lives now. But it's forming these right relationships.
It's also, as I tell all people, that, you know, family is not necessarily all the people who are blood related to you. For people who have good relationships with their family, there are people who do, and I'm really impressed by that as well. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a great relationship with family, you should. And I have a great relationship with you, and I count myself very blessed. I have such an amazing sister. But I look at it and I go that many of the relationships I value most in my life are not blood related to me.
They're chosen.
We've looked for people who give us that nurturing that we needed at times because we all want a bit of mothering sometimes, or someone to help us, or if we get stuck, someone to go to for advice. And we found people who fulfill that need in us. And equally, it works two way, which is very nice. But I have a lot of people I trust and a lot of people I love. And I think, you know, people think that family is a safe place to do that because they can't betray you. Unfortunately, they can.
Yes.
And I think that you risk that with any relationship. You risk being hurt in any relationship. But if you don't try, and if you don't open yourself to that, then it's much worse. We're not solitary, really, by nature.
And we can't live in fear.
We're social.
We cannot live in fear through our lives of someone hurting us. And even though we've been hurt in the past, I would never say I wouldn't try again. And I would say I'm saying that after quite a lot of counselling. But I would always keep trying. And actually, I'm always open to forming different relationships because even if someone does hurt me, we're very resilient.
And we learn a lot from that.
Yeah,
we learn a lot about yourself.
Do.
In times when you feel unhappy, you learn a lot about yourself and how to help other people. You develop a huge sense of empathy for others. You also Yeah, it's a good time to work on your own identity. You know, when things feel very low, when you feel very bleak, I think that that's a really good time to start working out what makes you happy and start spending some time alone, and then gradually start to find the social networks that suit you. By going to the places that do the things you love is usually a good place to start.
It's also completely okay to always have your own personality in all relationships. You know, you don't ever have to just become a we or become a collective. You are allowed an I, you are allowed an opinion, you're allowed a voice. You're allowed to assert yourself in anything, but also what you might find is, but by asserting yourself slightly, you actually might start getting a lot more things you want, and you can find some happiness in doing that. I always find people get so scared of asking for something that they want that they often just go along with something someone else wants, and you realise that's not an okay way to live. You have to have a bit of a belief in yourself that actually, no, you're allowed to have what you want.
You are, and I think as well as that, you also want to be the person that you want to be friends with. I think some of it is trying to live your values. You know, I want someone, I realize it a little bit in my relationship sometimes, is that I get very busy and caught up, and sometimes my husband suffers for this, I think. But, you know, you realize, you know, am I a good partner to my husband? Well, maybe I wasn't being at that point. Am I asking him how he feels? Am I checking he's had a good day? Am I giving him some time? No, probably I wasn't. And yet I'm expecting all those things of him. We have to look at the behavior that we're eliciting. You know, are we being the person we want to be friends with? Are we being that person to other people? Or are we a bit caught up in being negative ourselves? Have we got a bit into a negative spiral where we're dragging other people down? We need to work on our own, the person that we are underneath, and make sure that we're someone else's best friend as well, if we want them to be a good friend back to us.
It's also about making sure you realize that people around you aren't necessarily mind readers. They can't, you know, they can't go inside your head and pick out what you do or don't
want.
Much
easier if they could, though.
Maybe some facts. But you might not be thinking of nothing. Oftentimes you go, what are you thinking of? And I go, nothing, actually. I just zoned out completely.
You do this thing where you just like switch
your
off.
Face I can't do it. Your face was seeing you angry. And I was like, what's it? My face was literally just going, there was nothing going on. I just turned off. But it's all about those things. I mean, I meet so many patients and so many friends around me, and they always go, oh, you know, they just never know I want this doing. They never even think about, you know, just doing these seven jobs that are in my head. And I go, have you ever asked them to? And they go, what do you mean? I was like, have you ever said, please, could you do these jobs because I'm busy? No, they should know. Well, that's not very fair, is it? What would happen if you turned around and said, could you do it? Well, they'd do it. Oh, well, maybe you should try doing that then. I know, you know, it happens, you know, in our own things, in our own lives, you know. I like to cook a lot. I flipping hate cleaning up. And if I don't say, I've cooked, you clean, it wouldn't get done. But you know what? I just go, I've cooked. Can you fill the dishwasher? Yeah, done. That was easy. I go and make the bed. You know, it's just simple, something simple, isn't it? You've just got to ask for some things you want.
It's communication, I think, in all problems. I think
getting it through.
Most of the resentments that occur are when we're not communicating about what's bothering us. And I think one of the things I really like, and one of the things you learn when you listen to a lot of communication skills courses and other things, is it's always about taking ownership for how you feel and not trying to tell another person how they feel.
Yes.
Which is, you know, if you go into a situation with, I'm feeling really overwhelmed and really busy, I would really appreciate it. It would make me happy if you did this. If you say it in the right way, most people will help you, because our urges to help another person. Yeah. If you
I
say,
need help.
I'm really tired and a bit exhausted at the moment, and, you know, I really love listening to you and I want to help you, but today I just can't handle as much, you know, I can't handle this conversation. You know, can we take it down a little bit? Is there something we can do to make us both feel more relaxed? Then most people won't react badly to that either. It's how we communicate it, how we express our needs, making sure we continue to express those needs in a healthy way.
It's always just making sure you kind of, you're always looking what's around you and how you can loosen this. I mean, it's not just in people, or is it, or in energy or anything else like that. You've got to look around you in, you know, environment as well. You know, is the space you're in nurturing to you or damaging to you? You know, I mean, it can be even, you know, I'm about to move house and I'm literally building my house around what I think is a very energy network. I'm literally going, I want this room to be cozy and this one to be warming and it to be somewhere I go in a winter evening. I want this one to be light and airy and somewhere where I'm having breakfasty things and where I'm cooking. I want this one to be very kind of like easily controlled with lights. I'm going to put my office in here. I want it to be calming and not too many distractions, because I do get distracted and procrastinate. And bedrooms, you know, it's a very energetic environment I'm creating, and I'm realising, you know,
it's a bit of feng shui, but your own way.
Yeah, my kind of, because I'm very, very touchy-feely, and I don't even think I use words that are a sight or visual. My brain just goes, oh, how did that space feel? How did that person feel? And that's what homes always feel. And what's interesting is when people come into my homes, they always kind of go, oh, it feels nice in here. Like, it's because I create rooms that feel the mood you want to have in those rooms.
It's also decluttering your space, making your space suit you, as well as the fact that I do think the energy side is important. You know, you can tell your house. It was a funny one. I came with you when you decided to pick your house. And I think
I didn't hear what about 2 steps to the door.
5 seconds to the door. Yeah, this is the right house.
Because
you could just feel it.
You could just go.
We walked into the other house, which on paper looked perfect, and it just didn't have the right. It just
I put all the hairs in the back of my neck up, and I was like, no. And what I still find funny is that you tried everything you could to sell it to me, and you got to the end, and you went, oh, what do you think? I was like, I don't want it, and you went, oh, thank God. So we literally walked into the foyer and I went, yes. And it just, because, you know, it's an environment you know you can live in. It was a door I knew I could cross every day for the next 10 years, no problem. So, oh, how it is. But I would say I set my fridge up and my cupboards up the same way. You know, I set my fridge up to have an environment around me that means that I walk into it and the first thing I do when I see the first shelf is I see fruit to make sure it supports me in that environment and not chocolate. And, you know, I set my cupboards up and every single thing in my kitchen is gluten-free. I'm completely set up so that I can't ever fall off a wagon easily in my house. Doesn't mean I don't have a drunk jaw. I do, but because I'm 5'10", it's on the bottom of the fridge and it's so hard to get to. It's often I will go, oh, I can't bother. It's too close to me.
Or our face is there.
It's too close to me is what I've realised, that drunk jaw.
And it's just making sure everything around you is set up like that. You know, my cupboards only have eco cleaners in them so that I don't have a choice. I only use eco cleaners. It's just, you know, everything in your environment doesn't have to just be relationship and energy. It can be literally every bubble of everything around you is set up.
But taking that further, you know, if you're in an environment where you don't have any choice, and I think my example would be hospital. You know, if you're going into an environment you know is pretty toxic, you know, energetically, emotionally, stress-wise, with people, other things like that, or there's going to be people who are difficult, you know, how do you protect yourself in that situation? And I think you can have different views on this depending how you feel about the energetic side. But I really think if you just imagine a safe space around yourself, you do very well with this.
Yep.
And I think energy work is something that people don't talk about a lot either. And the worst you can say is it doesn't work for you. But I find for me, it worked a lot. And I was taught at the time to do something called a golden ball meditation, which is where I meditated and imagined a ball of energy inside my head, one inside my pelvis, kind of joined them together and gradually blew it up into like a big, you just basically sat inside a big bubble. And that bubble was golden and glittery. And I kind of imagined that negative things bounced off the edge of it and positive things were allowed through. And that's the way that I did it. And what I found really interesting is actually I'm quite visual. So I got quite good at imagining this golden ball. And I used to do it in A&E quite regularly. And then I used to throw it around the entire A&E. I used to pull it out and put it around the entire A&E department. And I had a consultant. It was like, I'm just picking all your shifts. And I was like, why? And she's like, I don't know. I've just noticed that all your shifts are really nice and quiet and much better than my shifts. She's like, yeah. So I'm just going to rotor myself in to work all your shifts. And I went, what do you mean? And she's like, your shifts are so much better than other. I don't know what happens when you're in the building, but it's just much calmer. I was like, if that's my golden ball that does that, I wonder if it that makes it better. Remember once we did it at the cinema and we had like a little row of seats, there was a little circle all the way around us, just like a little bubble.
But I also remember when you were trying to teach me how to do that and I got a little, and I'm not very good at visualising. We should have gone for like a warmth sensation or something. I've been good for the feeling. And what happened was we looked at the cinema about 5 minutes later and everyone had only sat around us and you were like, what did you do with it? And I was like, it was great. I was like, it was all golden. And all of a sudden they went like really green. Like really, really, really green. And then like really kind of like it. I felt like it was drawing things in. And you were like, just pull everyone to us. I was like, oh, I did that wrong. I just pushed them away, wasn't I? I got wrong.
This energy stuff is interesting. And, you know, you can say that people can't do it. I really believe that people who are tuned to that energy side, they can do an awful lot. We've had sound healing done by one of...
It was really amazing.
Oh, it was.
I mean, the gong baths, she says, are probably not a good idea, and I can see that might be a bit much.
I think it was a bit sensitive. I felt like someone was literally taking me up and down the Big Dipper. But it was amazing and very, very, I don't know, I think our reception staff couldn't form words at the end of it. You know, it was very, 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 very deep. It was great. But it was all about making sure that, you know, you're in tune and thinking about those. I mean, energy work, I don't know, it's a very interesting one. I always think it every time I go for a swim, we swim in lanes. I always find it very, very interesting is that you can feel each lane, whether or not they want you to go in it or not. It's very funny. You can get like a guy who's like, oh, no, they're fine. They don't mind swimming with them. Oh, no, they don't want them. Those three aren't interested at all. And they're very, very, it's very interesting that you're just using, you know, a visual check is what people think they're doing. Or they've probably just thought they've gone along and gone, well,
body language, maybe
body language. I don't believe at all. I honestly believe that you can give off the waves of what you're thinking. And I always pick the right lane to do with that. I know I certainly give off a vibe of, don't you dare get in my lane, I swim backstroke.
And I'm going to crash into you.
You've got really long arms. I'm going to knock you out.
Please, I need as much space as I can possibly have.
But you can take that to an empty building. You know, if you walk in a house and there's no one there, you know whether, you can just tell.
Yeah.
Even before you've entered the house properly, the house almost has a feel to it. And I think if you're attuned to it,
I really believe in that side of things, and I really believe in the energy of places and the energy of people. And I think if you get attuned to that, if you're sensitive to that, it can really help guide you with your instincts as to who's the right person for you. You can find that connection. You know, when you just meet someone and they just are the right person, you can talk to them for 5 minutes and you know straight away that you're going to form a great friendship with that person.
Yeah, and it's just be always listening to that. I mean, I had it the day when we were talking to actually our sports therapist, the day we were having a massage, and he'd randomly asked me what I was having for tea. And I literally turned around and I went, I think I might have an omelette. And I went, oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to have meatballs. And he went, what happened there? And I was like, I thought omelette. And as I said the words omelette, because that's more practical for my fridge, my eggs are going out of date and I've got vegetables to use. I said the words out loud. My brain went, no, I want meatballs. And he went, did your brain actually say that? And I went, yeah, it did. And he was like, isn't that weird? I was like, why? And he went, I said, I was listening to my intuition. My intuition said that. And he went, it's interesting, he said, because you use the word intuition, and I'd use the word spirit guide. He said, I would literally say that you're the sort of person who, when you're thinking of something, you ask the question to like a spirit world and it just answers you and goes, probably shouldn't do that. And you go, okay, we'll do that. We'll do this.
Well, from that pathway, very amenable to a spirit guide.
He said, food orientated quite often. He was like, you're very amenable to that. I was like, yes. He was like, just totally listen to it. You transform what you're going to do. And he went, it's fine. The eggs aren't even tomorrow. And we'll just go on a different pathway. And he went, it's interesting, he said, because if you thought that in a bigger circumstance, it could be that he said that your body was looking out for you. And went, actually, he said, what have you done today? And I went, oh, I've actually done some weight training today. And he went, so your body probably has more of a demand for meat than it does for an omelette. And I went, it's probably true. And he was like, it'd be interesting to know if the vegetables you're going to put with those meatballs, he said, are actually more attuned to helping break down muscle, or build up muscle rather, than what you're going to put in the omelette. And I was like, it's possible. And he was like, he said, I think that's really amazing that you're just open to asking that question and your intuition, whatever it was, just immediately gave you a different answer.
It's a bit of trust in the universe and the things that happen as well. I mean, I think we have quite a strong spiritual side in which we believe that everything happens as meant to, that everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And that belief helps me, you know, even when things go wrong, I kind of imagine it does happen as it's meant to. We look at things like how our clinic developed, you know, it just literally, that clinic just dropped out of the sky. I don't know. There was nothing for rent where we were.
Well, no, but that was your fault. That was. I was the grumpiest person on the planet looking for that. We'd literally had...
Couldn't find a clinic.
We need to move. We had 12 weeks to get out, didn't we? 12 weeks to get out, but we were on day 3. And I had already looked at every single property there was in a 10-mile radius, and there was nowhere. And your answer was ridiculous. We need to go for a drive. How is that helping me? How is going for a drive? And I'm going to drive around Poynton to find somewhere what? That I want and can't have?
I was literally, this is what I was. I was like,
a very good mood about it.
I was like, Muttley in the car. I was like, no.
For some reason, I was just like, no, I think we need to get in the car.
And then you drove down the road. And as you drove, and interestingly, what's even weirder is the fact that I think you were driving, which never happens with us. And literally, I just went, what's that sign? What's that sign? You were like, what sign? And I was like, there's a red sign in the building. And we did a U-turn, didn't we? And came back. And there was a guy putting up a red sign in the building saying it's for let. And that was hilarious because we rang them. I actually pulled by the road and I rang the estate agent right then, who proceeded to then argue with us for 5 minutes about the fact that there wasn't a sign on that building and said, it can't be, that building doesn't go for rent.
So now you got through to the person who owned the building.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just asked the right questions and we got through to the top guy, didn't we? And he was like, but there is no sign on that building. It doesn't come for rent until next week. And I was like, I'm stood outside your building with a man putting a red sign up. He was like, please hold. Came back and he went, they're putting up on the wrong day. He was like, okay, he's got up early. And I was like, I think I gave him every single piece of information about our lives. We managed to meet him at the building 4 hours later.
We clicked with him a little bit, I think. Something there, he just was the right person. I don't know. It was almost like he was the one who we were meant to meet.
Because he researched, doesn't he? He'd researched the entire clinic. He researched everything about what we were about. He saw we were a family-related thing, and he's a family business. So he loved the fact it was two sisters. And by the time he'd arrived, he had every single piece of information. He showed us around, and then that was it. We just said yes on the day. So,
and he could have taken his pick of anybody at probably any price.
He said that as well. He said he had about 12 people who were interested in that property, but he picked us. And it was literally just a complete fluke, but it was a perfect-sized building. And
it was what we needed, and we were given it at the right time when we couldn't cope, and a lot of other bad things were going on, and that was the right thing for us. And I think I trust that even when things are bad, the thing that you need to help you at that time will be given to you. You know, that I think we have to look for those and we have to take those chances and we have to take those things. We have to be aware to do it. You know, we have to think, you know, yes, this has happened. What have I learned from it? What can I grow with from that? Is there something here that could help me? Is there an opportunity that's being presented to me that could help me? You know, I trust my instincts very strongly. I listen to it and I form a little bit what you did then. I make the decision and then I go, do I feel happy with that? And I go, no, actually, that was the wrong decision. Because the moment I go, I'm going to do this, my brain went, no.
Yeah, we call it following a rabbit hole, don't we? We often say that. We often say, just follow that course all the way down the rabbit hole. At some point, you'll go,
no, that end is, that's terrible. We need to backtrack a long way.
Backtrack to where it feels okay again, go down a different route.
And, yeah. And we do that a lot. And that's, I think that's really what we're trying to get to with this podcast. And that is, if you have a circle around you and a circle of supportive around you, you also, you get better self-esteem, you get better self kind of
You're
reliance.
Going to model yourself after them.
You are. But you also, you know that you can go to any member of that circle, get all the information you want and ask them all the same question for something that you want, you're thinking about doing, and they'll help you formulate the answer that works for you. And that's what you're looking for, really. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you again soon.
Medical disclaimer. All the Natural Doctors services are for informational purposes only and are not intended to diagnose any medical or healthcare condition, replace the advice of a registered healthcare professional, or provide any medical advice, opinion, diagnosis, treatment, or guarantee. Use of the Natural Doctors services does not create a doctor-patient relationship. Use of the website is solely at your own risk.